was perfect. In fact, God said after each day of creation, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And when he finished creating everything, he added one extra word. He said, it is very good. But there in the garden, Satan came as a serpent to Adam and Eve. And we must remember, on a side note here, that Adam and Eve had dominion over the animals. They had divine dominion, and they didn't have to succumb to the tricks of the enemy. Eden was a place of love. Eden was a place of the goodness of God. Even God called Eden. He said, it is good, and it is very good. Adam and Eve weren't the only ones in the garden. You think about that, they weren't the only ones. In fact, it was a love affair between God and man. Deity and humanity in fellowship in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. That Adam and God were in communication. There was a love affair, if you want to call it, between God and man. God was not afraid to speak to man, and man was not afraid to speak to God. God could touch man, and man could touch God. But there came a day. The scripture tells us that there came a day when a new relationship entered the heart of humanity. A new relationship. Satan had enticed man to sin. And in spite of the goodness of God, in spite of the love of God, in spite of the fact that God had provided everything that they needed, mankind turned their back on God and cheated. Adam and Eve realized their mistake. Bible says that while they could have gone looking for God, yes, they could have. Instead of that, they realized their nakedness and they ran and they hid from God. And let me just stop there and say that happens a lot. When people make mistakes, their first reaction is that I need to hide from God. But when you make a mistake, the most important thing that you can do is come into the presence of God and begin to seek God. Don't let your mistakes keep you away from the presence of God. You don't need to hide from God because He is a loving God. Somehow they realized that things had changed. They're partaken of that tree. Guilt had begun to overcome them over what they had done, and they tried to run away and they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Fig leaves speaks of good intentions. With what they thought they could cover themselves, and they tried to hide. They tried to find peace in the darkness, and there they are hiding. Adam and Eve were hiding from the presence of God. But just when they thought they were hiding, just when they thought God didn't know where they were, just when they thought they had escaped from God, their lover came looking for them. Their lover came looking for them. The goodness of God began to pursue them. Love just will not let go. And maybe they thought that God would never find them. They said, you know what? We'll hide over here. We will hide in darkness. Surely God can't find us in the darkness. God can't come here. God's not interested in dark places. He's only interested in me when I'm in His presence. He's only interested in me when I'm living in the light. And if I walk in the light, He's with me. But if I walk in darkness, God doesn't want anything to do with me. How many people here can say that God found you in the darkness? That you were living in darkness when God found you? But the devil would come to you and say, no, if you're living in darkness, God's not interested in you. He's forgotten you. He can't find you. He doesn't love you if you're living in darkness. And that is why a lot of people will come and say, they'll say, Pastor, when I get my life together, then I'll start living for Jesus. When I get everything perfect, when I get out of my dark situation, then I will commit my life to God. But I've come to remind somebody today, you don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. And they thought that because they were in darkness that God couldn't find them. But God pursued them even when they were trying to hide from them. They heard God as they are hiding. God comes shuffling through the garden. Adam, where are you? I tell you, God knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to admit where he was. Love's heart was broken. a God of love, his heart was broken. His eyes began to look where? Where are Adam and Eve? A lover became a stalker, pursuing and calling out their names, pursuing the person who had found refuge in darkness, and God went looking for Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? Adam, it wasn't a voice of fear. It wasn't a condemning voice. It was a voice of love. Adam, where are you? God, knowing that another relationship had entered into the heart of man, God pursued after Adam and Eve. God says, don't worry, Adam and Eve. I know what has happened. I know everything. I know where you are. I know how you feel. I know what has happened. But I love you too much to let you go. I want to remind you today that you can walk away from God, but you can't hide, because his love is a love that will not let go. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're hiding in darkness today. You come here and you think that God is not interested in you because of where you are right now and what is happening in your life, and that God has taken his hand off you and God is only interested in people who go to church. But if you're living in darkness today, yes, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can live for God or you can walk away. Yes, your soul is a free agent. But I want to remind somebody today that you can walk away from God, but he will never walk away from you. You can walk away from God, but he will never walk away from you. And that's why David said this. He said, in spite of all that I have done, in spite of all the mistakes that I have made, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so wherever you are today, whatever darkness you find yourself in, whatever addiction maybe has you bound, I want to tell you that God hasn't given up on you. And God is using this crazy preacher today to reach for your soul, to reach out to you and say, Jesus loves you, and he's not going to give up. And God walked out of the light and into darkness searching for them. Oh, why would God? God is so good. God is full of love. He's the lover of our soul. I want to remind you today that he didn't come for the perfect. He put on flesh. He robed himself in flesh. And he came and died on the cross so that those in darkness, listen carefully right now, so that darkness, those that are living darkness, could see the great light. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. When Jesus came and died on the cross, he brought light to this world. And we who walked in darkness have seen that great light. So God stepped out of, he's light, and he went there and he found Adam and Eve in darkness. You can give up on God, but he will never give up on you. He's too good to do that. And so the stalker of the ages, watching our every move, he knows where you are today. Jonah. I can relate to Jonah. A lot of preachers can relate to Jonah. Maybe you also can relate to Jonah. Jonah tried to run from God. He tried to run away from what God had called him to do, and he ended up in the belly of a whale. In fact, it wasn't just the belly of a whale. The way Jonah described it, he called the belly of the whale, he called it hell. The belly of the whale wasn't a very nice place. I mean, in my little children's books, it looked quite cool. You know, all he had to contend with is a few smelly fish and some seaweed wrapped around his head. But that wasn't what it was like in that belly of that big fish. Jonah called it hell. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2, Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I. I called out of the belly of hell and you heard me. You heard my voice. You heard my voice. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how far you go. It doesn't matter how fast you can run. God will be there. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you and shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to turn your attention to Psalm 139 and verse 7. David again We have so much of David in the Bible and wonderful verses that encourage us, and we can relate to David. David says this in Psalm 139 and verse 7. Whither or where shall I go from thy spirit? Or how can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, what's it say? You're there. We go, yeah, I knew that. Of course he's there. If I ascend up in heaven, you're there. Uh-oh. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings, now that's a revelation to there, right there. Because I thought that he was God in heaven. He wasn't interested in, you know, he's only interested in the good and all those things. No, but if I make my bed in hell, David says, you're there as well. I've been through some dark times, and I know that God never left me. He never stopped calling my name. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, the darkness shall cover me. If I say that I can hide in darkness. Look at this. It says, even the night shall be a light. Even the night shall be the light. Even the night shall be light around me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both the same to you. Wow. But I want to know, how does darkness shine like the day? How can darkness shine like the day? I submit to you today that the only way for darkness to shine like the day is for God to bring his light into the darkness. That's how darkness shines like the day, because God, who is light, steps into the darkness, and you're no longer in darkness anymore because the light of God is there with you. It is a love that just will not let go. And some of you can testify to that today. Some of you can say, you know what? I've been here, I've been there, I failed God, but I stand here today because God never gave up on me. God just never let me go. His love was there. And some of you can testify that even in your darkest hours, even in your lowest points, even in places where you know you should have never been, and in doing things you know you should have never done, that there was that still small voice saying, come back to the Father's house. Come back to the Father's house. Come back to the Father's house. Come back into my presence, because it is a love that will not let go. The love of God is pictured in the story of the prodigal, of the father that kept looking down. He's the lover of our soul. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 describes it like this. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. While others may abandon you today, others may abandon you tomorrow, God's love never changes. Paul writes it like this in Romans 8. He says, for I am convinced, I am reading it from a different version, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A love that just will not let go. Now I know what people are thinking here today. I know already what some of our responses are. You know, Pastor, you don't know. It's all good, but you know, you don't know what I've done. That's true. I don't know what you've done. I don't know. Some of us here today might have done some very, very terrible things. You sit here today feeling full of guilt and so far away from God. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I have done. I want to tell you today, you don't know how big my God is. You say, you don't know what I've been involved in. I say, you don't know how forgiving my God is. You say, you don't know what I've done to my family. I say, you don't know what Jesus did for you at Calvary. There is no sin that is greater than the love of God. If you would just repent of your sin and come back into his presence, there is a love that just will not let go. I tell you, God wants to be so good to you that you can't do anything else but repent. Listen to that again. God wants to be so good to you that you can't do anything else but repent. God wants to be so good to you that you can't do anything else but repent. I want you to read in your Bibles. We're going to read the scripture right in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. You know, and to the religious, this sounds very mushy. Oh, Pastor, he's so mushy today. You know, about the love of God, and it sounds too simple, you know. Pastor, this is a pretty light message. You know, can we get something a little deeper and a little bit more to chew on? It sounds mushy and simple. It sounds too simplistic. But Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You can only know the goodness of God is if you've done something bad, but he's still good to you. And he still draws you and still calls you. And Paul is speaking to a non-believer. He's saying, someone who deserved God's judgment but has not received it yet. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the reason that God has not judged you, there is coming a judgment time, but this is a time of grace, and this is a time of mercy. It's not too late wherever you are to come to Jesus. But the reason that God has not judged you yet, and the reason why he has not given you what you deserve yet, is because he is giving you time to repent. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. His kindness. The fact that he's so long-suffering. Can anybody here today say that God is long-suffering to you? Yeah? You know what long-suffering means? It means he suffers long. Can you just put yourself in God's shoes for a little while and just look at your consecration and devotion and how it seems to go in ebbs and flows, and you say, oh, I thank God that he's patient with me, because I'm so fickle. I'm up and I'm down. I'm here and I'm there. But his kindness, it is always there to me. He's so long-suffering. We must not despise his goodness. And if you've been here today singing, I thank you for your goodness, God. Let me tell you, the goodness of God is there to lead you to repentance. Your response to the goodness of God is that you would repent from your sin, that you would turn from your wicked ways and turn to God. God is too good for us to experience his love and then just be content to continue to abuse that love and keep rejecting his love. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's like a cheating spouse, I guess you could say, who comes home from doing the wrong thing and walks into the house and being unfaithful to their good spouse. And he or she walks into the house and their spouse says, oh, hey, darling, it's so good to have you home. Hey, I've got dinner on the table for you. And look, I've done all of this for you. And that unfaithful person's thinking, can you feel the conviction they're feeling in their heart? And that's what we are like to God sometimes. God is so good to us. And so it's like that cheating spouse. Why? They can't look their spouse in the face. They say, oh, can you stop being good to me? Stop doing these things for me. I'm so bad. Because there's absolutely no excuse for their unfaithfulness. And today I submit to you that there's no excuse for our unfaithfulness. That the goodness of God ought to lead us to repentance. And so that unfaithful spouse comes home with their head down. I want to tell you that God wants to be so good to you, even when you are unfaithful, that you can't even hold your head up anymore. You say, God, you're better to me than I am to myself. You're so good, I don't deserve it. But God, I want your goodness. Oh God, because of your goodness, I want to give my life to you. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. God will do whatever it takes to bring you to repentance. If the musicians could come now. We sang today about the goodness of God. The verse says, with my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Why do we give him everything? Because your goodness is running after, it's running after me. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. It ought to bring us to that place of surrender. Somebody here today, we've had a time of worship and we've lifted our hands and we've praised God. We've poured our heart out to Him. We've thanked Him for His goodness. But I'm encouraging somebody to take the next step and say, "Your goodness, God, has left me with no choice but to lay my life down at Your feet." The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Is there anywhere that you can hide that God cannot find you? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Jonah said, "Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard me." David said, "When I tried to hide in the darkness became as light," because God just will not let go. The Bible says that God commends His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you thankful today? Let's stand across this place right now. There's a way you can lead someone to salvation. It's called the Roman Road. Has anyone ever heard of the Roman Road? The Roman Road. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. So who are the sinners? How many people have sinned? The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if we're sinners, what is the penalty for sin? Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." So we are all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. So if that was your verdict, if that was your diagnosis, if you went to the doctor and he said, "You're a sinner, and your prognosis is death," the next thing you would ask is there a remedy? Is there something I can take? Is there something that I can do to change this? Is there any hope for me? Because you've given me the prognosis of death because of sin. Yes, I'm glad to say that there is a remedy for sin. And the Bible says, "But God commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us." Jesus is the remedy. And so what do I do now? Okay, you told me about the remedy, but how do I apply this to my life? How do I get a hold of this remedy? How do I get a hold of what Jesus has done on the cross for me? What is my right response to the love of God? What is my right response to the love of God? We read it already. Romans 2 verse 4. Our right response is to repent, to turn from our old life and to start following Jesus. We read it, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Wow, the goodness of God ought to lead you to repentance today. And I pray that during this worship service, as God has led us, as we've worshiped Him, as His presence has been here, that you've felt the tug of God on your heart, that you've been overcome with the goodness of God, and that it would bring you to the place of that repentance. I can't stop there because we can go further. How do I put an end to my old sinful life? The Bible says that we put an end to our old sinful life through baptism. Therefore, Romans 6 verse 4, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. In spite of our sin, in spite of our mistakes, through Jesus Christ, through repentance and being baptized into Jesus, we can now walk in newness of life. You know what? It's a new for old replacement. He says, "I'll take your old and I'll give you new." And then how do I continue to live this life? He says, where do I get the power to live this new life? The Bible says that we are filled with the Spirit in Romans 8 verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This pastor today has become your evangelist today. And I'm reaching for somebody's soul. The goodness of God, let it bring you to repentance. Somebody here today has been running, running and running and running. You're trying to hide in darkness. You say, God can't find me here. In fact, God's not interested in me where I am right now. I tell you, there's a voice crying out, Adam, where are you? It's not a frightening voice. It's a voice of love. The goodness of God is calling somebody to repentance today. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Come on, we just need to receive what God has spoken to us through his word now. There's a beautiful ministering presence of God in this place. His Spirit is moving. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If you're not where you need to be in God, let the goodness of God bring you to repentance today. Lord God, you're so good to me that I can't do anything but repent right now. Addictions will be broken. God's going to give you the strength. The lost become the found. Prodigals are coming home. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. That young prodigal was at that pig food. He says, oh, the servants in my father's house have better to eat than I'm eating. Let me tell you, yes, there's more for you in the presence of God. You will never hunger and thirst in the presence of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Come on, let's just keep our hands raised. Just let God speak to you right now. We have a personal God who's going to speak to every single life individually today. Not just a corporate word, but a specific word for every heart in this place. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I'm mindful of your goodness. Let it bring us to repentance today. Hallelujah.